The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following is a conversation between Mark Edwards, the co-founder and co-CEO of Upstream USA, and Denver Frederick, host of The Business of Giving, on AM 970 The Answer in New York City.
An unplanned pregnancy can really disrupt a young woman's life. It can have negative health effects for both her and her baby. It can lead to her dropping out of school, and the college completion rates among young mothers is quite low. But there is an organization that is tackling this problem head-on with remarkable success. It's Upstream USA, and with us tonight is their co-founder and CEO, Mark Edwards. Good evening, Mark, and welcome to the Business of Giving.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, before we get into the particulars of what you do and how you do it, let's first discuss the topic of unplanned pregnancy in the U.S. Give us a sense of the dimensions of this issue.
Well, the dimensions are really significant here in the U.S. So in a typical year in the U.S., nearly half of all pregnancies are actually unplanned pregnancies. These data come from women themselves describing their own pregnancies. But what's surprising to most people is that a significant percentage of these pregnancies occur to women who are actually using birth control. In other words, they know this is not a time they want to have a child, but the method of birth control they're using fails them. And we see, you know, much higher rates among poor and low-income women, in large part because the places that poor and low-income women get their health care make it very difficult to get access to the most effective methods of birth control, which are the new IUDs and implants.
I touched upon this a little bit in the opening, but what are the negative impacts, both health and otherwise, for both the woman and child that are connected with these unplanned pregnancies?
Well, when women have pregnancies before they plan them or want them, there are a whole set of downstream effects that are negative. So one, health outcomes are poorer because, of course, if you aren't planned to become pregnant, then you may not do all the prenatal care you would otherwise. You see higher incidences of things like fetal alcohol syndrome. And of course, there are a whole set of other downstream outcomes beyond the pregnancy themselves, which are negative. Having a child before you plan for it is challenging enough having children when you're planning for them. And so the important thing here is we're really trying to help women achieve their own goals of becoming pregnant only when they want to.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on what you said a moment ago. Birth control pills are the most popular contraceptive among U.S. women. Condoms are slightly behind.
Yep.
Are they not that effective?
They aren't that effective. Those methods of birth control are very effective if you are very good at taking them. But the truth is that many women are not. What the data show is in a typical year, nearly 10% of pill users become pregnant. And that's mostly because of compliance issues. But what's exciting is that there are new methods of birth control that are in clinical trials 20 times more effective than the pill. These are the new long-acting reversible contraceptive methods, the new IUDs and implants. These are the methods of birth control that OBGYNs use themselves for their own birth control. You won't find an OBGYN who uses the pill because she understands that these are much more effective methods of birth control. Lower doses of hormones, you don't have to think about it every day. You return to fertility faster with these methods compared to the pill. So these are just modern methods of birth control. But the places that particularly poor and low-income women get their health care make it very difficult for them to get access to these methods. And the interesting thing is it's not because of cost issues. It's mostly because of a set of administrative and systems barriers in health centers, which means they can't get those methods in one visit. It'll take them three or four visits. And women don't have time to make three or four visits to the doctor to get birth control.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit more about these LARCs, as they're referred to, long-acting reversible contraceptions, IUD and hormonal patches. How long do they last?
So, you know, there are several methods of IUDs, and there's one method of the implant. Among the IUDs, they last anywhere from 5 to 10 years. But again, these are completely reversible.
Yeah.
So when you take them out, you can become pregnant right away.
Absolutely.
The implant called Nexplanon lasts for 3 years. There are hormonal IUDs. There are non-hormonal IUDs. There's a whole selection there.
What do they cost compared to, let's say, a pack of birth control pills?
So for most women in this country, these methods are free. So let's just start with that. They are free. And that's, of course, the tragedy here is that most women are actually not even offered these methods. Even though the barriers are not cost barriers. I think in any other form of medicine, if you imagine a stent that was 20 times more effective than another stent.
Yeah.
And when you went to the doctor, they didn't even offer you that stent. They said, we'll just give you this one instead. That's what's happening with birth control. And so our goal is to make sure that women can get access to all methods of birth control, and then they can choose which methods are best for them.
That seems to make a lot of sense. What are the challenges, then, at these health centers where these women go? Why are they not offered this option as it stands right now?
So there are a number of challenges. I wish there was just one or two, but there are a number of them.
Yeah.
So it starts with the fact that for example, not enough providers are trained to place these methods. So literally, they don't have the skills to do that. And that's part of the work that we do, is to make sure that providers are trained so they can place and remove these methods. In addition, you know, health centers often won't stock the methods. So by definition, it requires multiple visits. You have to come in, they get ordered, they have to come back. Women don't come back. Health centers don't know how to bill and code properly. And so when that happens, they don't feel like they get properly reimbursed, which means there's a disincentive to offer these methods. So that, you know, for example, they don't have a proper workflow so that women can actually get them in one visit. There are a bunch of those kinds of administrative and systems barriers that get in the way. And that's really the work that we do, is remove those barriers.
Well, let's get into the work that you do, and I don't think there's a better place to start than Delaware. Upstream has spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of resources in Delaware. Let me start with this, Mark. Why Delaware?
Well, we learned early on that Delaware has one of the highest unplanned pregnancy rates in the country.
No kidding.
Yes, which was, I think, a surprise to lots of people. You know, it is bundled along with a whole set of other states, and those other states are ones that you would probably imagine, mostly in the South. But Delaware has a very high rate of unplanned pregnancy. The governor at the time, Governor Jack Markell, a very entrepreneurial governor.
On your board now, right?
Now on our board, exactly. We went to him and said, look, Delaware has one of the highest rates of unplanned pregnancy. He believed that unplanned pregnancy is associated with a whole set of other downstream costs that the state was in many ways shouldering. And we said, look, if we can reduce unplanned pregnancy, that'll have a number of positive outcomes for Delaware. He got very excited about it, asked us to develop a statewide plan. And so for the last couple of years, that's been our work, is literally transforming the healthcare system in Delaware so that all women can get access to all methods of birth control with great counseling in a single visit.
And you mentioned training and technical assistance, you know, to these Title X health centers and some of the big hospitals and the private providers. What exactly do you do?
So there are sort of three sort of core things that are important about our work. The first is we're trying to bring reproductive health care into the center of primary care. If you're a woman of reproductive age, unplanned pregnancies are sort of a part, it can be a part of your life. And so our goal is to make sure that in a typical primary care visit, not a specialty care, but a primary care visit, you're asked, for example, a very simple question. Do you want to get pregnant in the next year? As a standard question. And so in Delaware today, that is the state of play. No matter why you enter into a healthcare system for anything at all, you'll be asked, do you want to become pregnant the
next
year?
And that can lead to a conversation, I bet.
Absolutely. And so what happens is that if the answer is yes, I do, then fantastic. Let's make sure you have a nice, healthy baby and do the preconception care. But if the answer is no, in that visit, you should be able to leave with any method of birth control that you want. That's very important. I can't tell you how often we'll talk to women who were in a health center for some other unrelated reason in January. It could be for diabetes, depression, whatever she's there for, and then back in June with a high-risk unplanned pregnancy. You say to yourself, she was right in that health center. Why didn't we talk about it? And
yeah,
the reason is that reproductive health care is often not at the center of primary care. So that has really changed dramatically. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, of course, is that when women say, no, I don't want to become pregnant, they should be able to leave that visit, not come back, but leave that visit with any method of birth control, including one of these long-acting reversible methods. And so, as you can imagine, that requires a whole set of sort of training, technical assistance, systems work to make sure that even though she came in for diabetes, she wants to leave with a method of birth control. And so that work at the health center itself of getting those workflows in place, billing and coding, stocking the methods, proper counseling, that's at the core of the work. And then finally, the third major part of our work is we run large-scale consumer marketing campaigns so that women know about this.
Yeah.
They know
education.
They can get these methods. Exactly. Education campaigns.
Yeah. And when LARCs are made available to women, what percentage of them choose that method?
Well, you know, we're just learning this now. But what we know is that many more women choose these methods. And we also know they're much happier with these methods and with birth control pills. There's lots of data about that. So we're already seeing in Delaware, even though we've only been working there for 3 years, significantly more women choosing these methods. They're happier with these methods. We also have very good data that show that women are actually in charge of making their own choices about birth control. This is really important to us. The goal is that women really should be able to choose whatever method works for them with great counseling. And we have, you know, good evidence that shows that upwards of 99% of women are saying, I was in charge of choosing my method of birth control. This is the decision that I made by me.
Well, you've been in Delaware, as you say, for a few years. What has been the impact? What are the results?
So it's very exciting. It's really been just about three and a half years. And we've seen a number of results both at the health center level, and there's literally a higher percentage of women are choosing these more effective methods. What we're also seeing, though, is higher percentage of women overall are just on birth control. Because now this question, do you want to become pregnant in the next year, is a standard screening question, more women are just on more birth control of, mm-hmm. all kinds.
All kinds.
And that has a huge impact on reducing unplanned pregnancy. One thing I should say, it's important, is that people often think that unplanned pregnancy is all about teens. It's not. So teen pregnancy, it represents about 15% of overall unplanned pregnancy. The bulk of unplanned pregnancy is actually single women in their 20s.
Yeah.
That's where you really see it. And so mm-hmm. teen pregnancy is important. I think we're making good progress in this country about teen pregnancy, even though, of course, the rates are still higher than every place else. But we've made good progress.
That was a great campaign by MTV a couple years ago around
that. Yes, it was. And I think it demonstrated to have some real impact. But again, those numbers are still higher than they should be.
Yep.
But the bulk of unplanned pregnancy is actually single women in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning to see those rates come down already. And just recently, a group out of Washington, Child Trends, released a report showing that among women in Delaware on Title X, Title X really represents some of the most vulnerable women in Delaware. We've already seen in just 2 years a drop of 15% in unplanned pregnancy in Delaware, which is really very exciting.
Congratulations. That is truly significant. You know, another early success story was in Colorado. Tell us what happened there.
Well, we were not involved with the Colorado
Project,
but it was very inspirational for us and was one of the reasons that we started Upstream. Colorado demonstrated that by making these methods available to women throughout the state, they were able to reduce the teen pregnancy by close to 50% over about 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Better birth outcomes, significantly reduced costs to the state. So a real important demonstration project.
Well, one that you are involved in is right here in New York City, and that's a partnership you have with an organization called DOOR. Tell us about that intervention and the results that it has yielded.
So the DOOR is a fabulous partner of ours. They are a multi-service site for adolescents here in the city, downtown. And they have a whole set of programs for adolescents, ranging everything from sort of health care to sort of classes to job training, the whole bit. But unfortunately, in their health center there, they were not set up to be able to offer the most effective methods of birth control. They were basically offering pills.
Mm-hmm.
And predictably, I think they had relatively high rates of unplanned pregnancy, as they do throughout the country. We were able to work closely with the medical director there and their whole medical team so that now patients at the DOOR can really get all methods of birth control, including these long-acting reversible methods. We've seen the numbers of women choosing these methods go up significantly. And what's exciting is that even though our sort of formal partnership really has ended with the DOOR, in other words, it's sort of a one-time intervention, we've seen they've continued to be able to offer these methods on an ongoing basis. So the cumulative impact of this has really been quite significant.
You know, there's a lack of evidence around so many programs. You're one that really does have hard data and results. So the next question would be government support for these kinds of programs, which has to happen at the state level. Are they providing the necessary funding to be able to scale these programs?
Well, what's unusual about the work that we're doing is that we're operating in a sort of a policy environment that's actually pretty positive. So most states in this country have policies that mean that women insured women in the state, whether insured privately or insured with Medicaid, can get these methods for free. That's just the standard mm-hmm. of care here in the U.S. The challenge is that the actual practice, though, in health centers is not that way. In practice, it means you can get the pill right now, but it may take you 3 or 4 visits to get one of these more effective methods, and women don't have time to make those visits.
They don't come back.
Exactly. And so, you know, our goal, we're not an advocacy organization. We're not trying to change laws. We're operating in places where the laws and the policy environment is actually really supportive. It's really about changing healthcare practice to make sort of the spirit of those laws sort of available. But you're right. The work we do, of course, is training and technical assistance, and that work is not really supported by governments. So they often will pay for the actual birth control themselves as part of your insurance, but they're not paying for this critical training work to make sure that it actually is made available. So that's the place where we really need support.
Yeah. Well, you got some of it from an organization called Blue Meridian Partners. They have invested a significant amount, $60 million in the work that you do. And that's an incredible testimonial, Mark, for a young organization like yours to breed that level of confidence. Tell us about that partnership and what it will mean for the organization and for the women that you serve.
Upstream feels incredibly fortunate to have a partnership with Blue Meridian Partners. They are a funder collaborative that has raised about $1 billion to make large-scale sort of 10 to 15-year investments in a small number of nonprofits that they think can really make a big difference in expanding opportunity for young adults. And they've made a significant investment upstream to really help us scale. And on the back of that, we are really in the process of raising even additional resources to bring the work we've done in Delaware to three other states in this first chapter of work. And so, you know, as you can imagine, you know, the scale of this work is significant. So in a typical year in the U.S., there are about 1.5 million unplanned children born. So if you think about the math, I mean, these are big dollars. And states around the country, without exception, spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars just on healthcare-related costs for unplanned pregnancies. And so we're really trying to tackle a problem which is really quite significant. And so as extraordinary as that level of support is, we have to raise more money to be able to do this at scale.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You know, just give us a story or two in terms of the impact that this has on the women that you serve. I just can't even imagine how the trajectory of their lives have changed. I mean, what have you seen having done this work now for 4 or 5 years?
One of the most extraordinary inspirational stories I heard was from an OBGYN in Denver, actually, who told me about a patient that she had. This was actually a 40-year-old mother, mother of two, married, sort of a high-powered lawyer. And this patient told her OBGYN that when she was 15, for some reason, her pediatrician was able to give her, or 16, excuse me, she was able to get access to one of these long-acting reversible contraceptive methods.
Mm-hmm.
And this patient says it really made all the difference for her because she had nine female cousins in Denver, none of whom had access to effective birth control. All of whom got pregnant and had children before the age of 18, all of whom ended up on welfare. She went on to become a very successful lawyer and really credits access to effective birth control as being sort of her ticket to be able to achieve the goals that she had for herself. We see stories like this on a daily basis. Having a child before you plan for it or want it is a very challenging situation. And so our entire goal is to really try to create an environment where women can decide for themselves when and if they become pregnant.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way to alter this intergenerational cycle of poverty. Because this is particularly in low-income communities, right?
So it is concentrated in low-income communities. Though if you understand the fact that nearly half of all pregnancies in the U.S.
Right.
are unplanned, this actually happens really across
mm-hmm.
the spectrum. It can have, obviously, some more challenging outcomes for low-income women. You know, the whole conversation about opportunity in this country starts when kids are born.
Mm-hmm.
We say, this child is here. What do we do now to make sure this child can achieve its full potential? You know, our view is that helping women achieve their own goals of becoming pregnant only when they want to really is at the center of the opportunity conversation, and we need to include that in this dialogue.
Let me close with this, Mark, and let's get back to scaling. Boy, Blue Meridian has been a wind at your back, $60 million, hopefully 1.5 million women, 4 states. But you got to do a lot more than that to make this available to all women across the country. What are the challenges and what are the things that need to happen to make these choices accessible to all women?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to shift the dialogue about opportunity in this country so that we understand that pregnancy planning and prevention should be at the center of this. Again, I'm not talking about abortion here. I'm talking about making sure that women get access to effective birth control so they can decide when and if they become pregnant.
That's a big distinction, too, because I'm sure a lot of people kind of conflate the two.
They do. They do. We're really talking about, you know, of course, most abortion happens because people have unplanned pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can actually help women prevent those, that's a critical distinction. Second is I think we need to ensure that all women have access to the full range of birth control methods. So in many states, insured women have the access, but many uninsured women do not.
Yeah.
And so it's really important, I think. It makes so much sense from a cost perspective as well. Of course, helping women, you know, prevent pregnancies they don't want is really much more cost effective than dealing with the issue once we have a child that's an unplanned child. So that's an important distinction as well. And finally, I think, you know, what's really important to remember is that this is simply best in class healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So these methods of birth control are considered by the CDC, by the American College of OBGYNs, most recently by the American Academy of Pediatrics, as being best-in-class healthcare, best-in-class birth control for all women, all adolescents, period. So this is just simply modern birth control. And we've got to there's no reason this should be sort of more politicized. These are really methods that women prefer when they get access to them, and it has a huge impact.
Yeah, no reason is absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of problems in this country. We can solve many of them, but this is one that we can with the right will. Mark Edwards, the Chief Executive Officer of Upstream USA, I want to thank you so much for being here this evening. If listeners should be interested in learning more about the organization. Tell us a little bit about your website and the kind of information that you have there.
Well, Upstream is at upstream.org. Mm-hmm. There you'll find both sort of case studies about the work we're doing, the kinds of training and technical assistance we're doing, a lot of work, information about our work in Delaware, and of course, information about how to donate as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. It was a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'll be back with more of The Business of Giving right after this.
The Business of Giving can be heard every Sunday evening between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern on AM 970 The Answer in New York and on iHeartRadio. You can follow us at Biz of Give on Twitter and at Facebook.com/Business of Giving.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.